Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 509-727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody at the station for working to make this show happen. Mr. John McKay, how you doing over there?
Uber busy, and I'm enjoying the cooler weather this weekend.
Yes, it is a little bit, it's just about perfect, actually.
Yeah,
I've been out doing a few outdoor workouts in the morning and stuff, a little crisp in the morning, and I'm digging it. This is some of Tri-Cities at its best, for sure.
Upper 70s, 80 better. I mean, you know, you like the weather, the hot weather, but...
I will say I was a little bit... just beside myself last week. We had a broker's open where, you know, you invite brokers to your new listing and stuff. Mm-hmm. We had it Tuesday last week. If you remember, 7 days of the week, it was there one freaking windstorm was during the broker's open. But it was still very successful because I think nobody wanted to be outside, so they all came inside to look at the house. So,
it worked out okay.
I didn't have to be irritated for very long. So... But we are busy, busy, busy in the real estate sector, and we always like to start off with our crazy national celebrity house. Mm-hmm. This from mansionglobal.com. This is a listing that hit the market in Brentwood Park, California. Now, think Gwyneth Paltrow, okay. Meryl Streep. I mean, this is where they all live. Like, this is the address. $38.5 million. It is a Roaring 20s house.
Okay.
And it's like Spanish Revival style.
Mm.
And they went and they put their own Mission Revival chapel on the property. It's a triple lot. Ooh. You know what the best part about that is, McKay? You don't have to go anywhere to go to church.
Yeah.
You just roll out of bed in the morning.
There you go.
You've got your own chapel. So that's just, I don't know if we've had that on the featured stories before.
I don't think we have. Did they have like a monk house there or anything?
Yeah, there is a guest house. So okay. Yes, I think you could have you could put monks in there if you wanted to. That is amazing, John. This house owned by a Helen and David Price. He owned a very well, David Price is the name of an agent on our team, which is hilarious. Mm-hmm. This is not that David Price, mm-hmm. but he owned a golf company and had that did uber, uber well.
I'll say.
The original house done in 1928, then extensive remodeling. They purchased two additional lots. So you've got over an acre in a neighborhood that normally has like third acre lots. So very desirable.
More insulation from neighbors.
Yes. And if you've got an extra 38 million lying around, I think you can probably get this deal done. And I will say, you know, we always seem to be talking, I think we talk too much about bathrooms on the show,
mm-hmm.
but this master bathroom notated in the listing that primary bedroom, they misnotated here. The primary bedroom notated in the listing had two bathrooms, which seems ridiculous until you're getting ready to go to sleep, I guess, and both parties need to use the bathroom at the same time. So this primary taking it to a whole nother level, adding a second bathroom to it. $38 million, it could be yours in Brentwood, and that is the celebrity house of the week.
$38 million. Oh, I'll just go out and get it out of the glove box.
Now, I am going to take you back to a more reality-based real estate story that we're more likely to use here in the Tri-Cities.
Mm-hmm.
We had talked about earlier in the year, there's all of these crazy changes going on with real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Buyers moving a market segment to where in a number of cases, buyers are paying their own agent's commission.
Yes.
And that created a problem for VA, for veterans. So traditionally, veterans were not allowed to pay their own commission or pay their own concessions. It was actually like prohibited by the basis of the VA program. And so when these changes went into effect, here we have a big problem because now if a seller is not offering any compensation or you don't know they're offering any compensation, mm-hmm. and the veteran is prevented from paying their own agent, then who's going to help the veterans? Nobody, yeah. Right? Like, so mm-hmm. It created a big issue. Luckily, people saw that coming. And for once, I'm not sure if I've ever said the VA moved really quickly on something, but they did move very quickly on this, and they did come up with a temporary solution. Mm-hmm. They've gone ahead and made a policy change clearly to protect veterans and allow them to be able to go into these transactions, not count a seller's contribution to the commission against their concessions. And that was the biggest thing. So they really would have been limiting the amount they could have used to get in these zero down type programs. So it was a great change. Good to see them make that policy change. And then just make sure that we're protecting veterans in that situation. Well, John, this week, I wanted to talk about buyers.
Okay.
So as I was researching for the show, and I was talking to a number of our agents in the office, and there was a couple things that happened over the last 2 weeks where I was taking some notes, and they were buyer mistakes.
Okay.
As an agent, some of my agents, we were coaching and talking about these situations. They had to step in and do some education with their buyer, talk to their buyers, point out some things. And so it got me thinking. I found a great article that was written by Kate Warren at Business Insider, and she had outlined a couple buyer mistakes. I put some tweaks on it to Kenmoreize this and talk a little bit about things that have happened. And so I've got a top 13 list today.
Okay.
Of mistakes that buyers make. And I wanted to go over that, relate some stories to that, and hopefully help some people that are in the market. Because what we've got happening right now is we've got a great amount of inventory in the Tri-Cities.
Okay.
Probably the best I've seen in a couple of years. 800 homes on the market. There are options now to, when I go out with a buyer, I can show four houses, mm-hmm. and we're less likely to be in multiple offers. If they're great, great deals, we still will see multiple offers. But we can actually give a buyer right now a day or two to think about their options, which is very different. On top of that, it looks like inflation is finally cooling. And so what we've seen happen is we've seen rates come down drastically the last 2 weeks. And so with rates coming back down, we're back in the mid sixes again. You can use some points to buy that down. There were some 15 years I saw quoted below six. Mm-hmm. We're getting into a reasonable payment again for buyers to take advantage of some of this great inventory. So mistakes that you want to avoid. And this first one, I see this a lot, and this is a hard one for people. And I say, number one biggest mistake that I can see a buyer make is assuming that every home's price is negotiable.
Mm.
And the reason I say that's a mistake is, good or bad, a lot of our job as agents is to help people with emotions. And a buyer will sometimes see something that they really, really like, but it has an unreasonable price on it. And the buyer will fall in love with the property, but not the price. In their mind, it's unreasonable. Mm-hmm. In the seller's mind, it might not be. And what I have to explain to buyers a lot of times is that you don't know anything about that seller's situation.
Yeah.
And when you don't know anything about the seller's situation, they might not have to sell. And that's hard for buyers to understand. And that's why you can't assume the price is always negotiable. They might have a trust fund. I don't. but they might have a trust fund. Mm-hmm. And they might care less if it sells. They're just doing this like for a hobby because they like cleaning their house and having strangers come over.
okay.
I mean, I've seen weirder things, okay? And they might just like the entertainment of interacting with people. And so what happens sometimes is people put in an offer on a price that they feel is reasonable, they think is marketable. The seller won't respond, the seller won't reduce. And that one experience that can just create a vision in their mind that's not true. And sometimes they can't get that out of their brain. Like, that's the house I want. If that house was priced at X, we wouldn't have to even look anymore. Mm-hmm. And every time you go out to look, they're just comparing it to that one house, but it's not realistic. And so don't assume that every home's price is negotiable. And that's a big one. And I've seen this happen over and over in real estate. And people don't think about that before they go into buying and go into looking for homes. Second thing that I wrote down that I see happen a lot is buyers getting distracted by flashy details and ignoring the actual quality of the house. This is a big one that can cost you later. Like, I've seen two walls of shiplap and some fancy paint sell a house for way more than it ever should have. that the comps can't even support. Now, this is really, really true in the lower price points. You can see a little bit of this in the luxury home market, but not as much, because when you get to a certain price point, there are just brand names, high-end appliances. There's just stuff that you can't fake very well.
Yeah.
But in the low price points, you can find one or two flashy items that are normally in an upscale home put into a lower scale home to try to mask some other issues of quality. Mm. Seen it happen again and again, and that can work out to be a big mistake for people, because you can't really overcome like a bad location, for instance,
yeah.
Or say a sloped yard that it cannot be re-engineered because of where the neighbor's fence lines and the property lines are. Mm-hmm. Like, it might be the most amazing house inside, and they put two or three extra flashy items in because they got the lot for free.
Yeah.
Because no one else could build on it. And so that's where they spent the money. So you can't really overcome those other details. Beware of the flashy items. From the financial side, and this has been really important the last 2 years, is the third thing that I wrote down was not putting down the largest down payment possible. In this instance, a lot of times people will look at this and, it's a little bit of a conservative approach, but it also can keep you out of trouble. So for instance, especially with rates where they have been at, if you have the ability to put down a larger down payment, number one, you're going to get a better interest rate. So over the life of that, if you're going to live there 10 years or longer and keep that interest rate, over the life of that, you're going to save a lot of money in interest.
Yes.
The second thing that you're going to likely do in those situations is avoid PMI. So you're going to avoid private mortgage insurance for the lower down payment options. Once again, making your monthly payment lower and saving you more over the life of that property. It'll also help you build equity at a faster rate if you can. And once again, it all comes down to the end of the day, building equity faster, paying less in interest. So putting down the largest down payment possible. The fourth thing that comes up, and we deal with this quite a bit, and that is I see buyers make the mistake of making a lowball offer when it's not necessary. Part of the reason is buyers have been told by somebody, or they've been said, what could be the harm in that situation?
Okay.
Well, a lot of folks will do this, especially if they're in a position of cash. There's the old saying, and they always say, cash is king. But unfortunately, cash is not always the king. That saying is, it has some instances where that's not correct. Let me give you a great example. So for instance, let's say you have a $500,000 house,
mm-hmm.
and you get an offer for $470,000,
okay,
cash, close in 15 days. So you don't have to deal with the bank. You don't have to deal with the appraisal. The seller is fairly interested in that,
mm-hmm.
but doesn't have a need to close in 15 days. They're fine waiting 30 because their agent told them it might take 30 to 45. So they get a second offer, $490,000, but it has financing, and it's a 30-day close. If the seller is in a position in that case to wait the extra 15 days,
mm-hmm.
and the buyer's pre-approved with the financing, I'm not so certain in that case that cash is king, because we're talking about the seller at closing getting a check for $20,000 more. So if that's 15 days of waiting, they're making over $1,000 a day. I'll sign up for that program.
Yeah.
If I don't need to close right away or I'm not contingent, let's say I already bought my new house, I moved out, then I was selling this house, I'm comfortable making the payment the next 4 or 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably going to bet that 15 days on that financing offer because I really like $20,000.
Yeah.
And so in that case, cash might not be king. Now, if you have had a buyer fail previously, maybe you had an offer not work out because the house didn't appraise. Mm-hmm. There were some issues with the location or it was just different. If you start to layer in items like that, then you lean towards that cash offer and there might be some reasons to go that way. But if you're just apples to apples in that situation, cash versus financing, and you have the time, there's a good argument for you not to make a lowball offer, even if you are cash. If you really want the house, if you don't care about the house or you're an investor, whole nother story. Yeah. But if you've looked at 10 houses and you've decided this is the best out of the 10, you might not want to make a lowball offer in that situation. The last thing I'm going to end with before the break, I always run out of time on these shows when we have good content, but is I put down a mistake that I see buyers make is limiting your search to a specific style of home. Okay, there's an old Century 21 commercial. It's a great commercial where there's a block. It's like a neighborhood, track neighborhood where all the houses are the same somewhere like in California. And the whole block is two-story homes.
Okay.
And they're like, there's like 7 for sale. And the client says, hey, we really want to look at a one-story home. And the Century and the agent's like, okay, well, great. And he backs out of the driveway, goes 2 driveways down and pulls into a driveway of another 2-story. He's like, well, how about this one? And then he takes him into that one. And then they just keep going down the block. And then it's like, hey, you don't want an agent that does this to you.
Yeah.
But here's the situation, though, is many times there's also another saying in real estate. And that saying in real estate is buyers are liars. In real estate. And people are always like, well, that's not a nice statement, Lance. And what happens is it's not that buyers are liars, but it's that sometimes in the beginning of their process, they don't know enough to know what they really do want.
Yeah.
You might show somebody a house that is one story, but they're a little bit more expensive per square foot. So you get a smaller house. They might look at 3 of those single story homes, and then they might look at one that say, has a daylight basement. But all the bedrooms, the primary and the kitchen and everything are on the main level. So most of their living's on the main level, but they're like, man, our kids are about to be teenagers. We could get rid of them in this daylight basement and not have to listen to them. Gosh, we might actually want a house like that. And so somebody that ends up saying, only show me one level houses, or I only want a one level house, ends up buying a rambler with a basement or a 2-story with a bonus room. And so hence the saying buyers are liars because they told you they only wanted a 1-story. That's not the case. They just haven't been educated yet in the process to know exactly what they're looking for. And that's what a real estate agent's job is to help them through that process,
yes.
Show them some options. So as buyers, keep your options open to a different style of house than you've originally considered. At least look at 1 or 2 to get an idea. And I'll tell you what, that's going to go for price points too, $15,000 each direction. If somebody says they want to look for a house that's $400,000, it's amazing what sometimes $415,000 or $420,000 might get you. And if you have the budget and the approvability for it, you might be saying, nope, no matter what, I'm not going over $400,000, but you're missing maybe an extra bedroom or you're missing a half bath. That at the end of the day, when you see it, you're like, oh my gosh, this makes sense for what we could get it for. So having a little flexibility in the style of your house and the bracket of the budgeting will make your home buying experience go a lot better. When we get back from the break, I've got another 6 or 7 tips buyer mistakes to avoid.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Our house in the middle of our street. Our house in the middle of our street.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we've been talking about mistakes that buyers can make in the home buying process and in the search. And we hit some of the big ones first, and I got some more to talk about. But before I do, because I always run out of time with these content-packed shows, I've got to pick three because, like I told you, there's some great inventory coming on the market. We're getting that summer bump of inventory with a lot of houses. School's out. People are putting the houses on the market. Pick number one, I'm going to take you to West Richland. This is 6314 Copper Court. Four bedroom, three bath, 2577 square foot house. You've got this absolutely awesome open great room that connects right up to the gourmet kitchen, granite countertops, large island, very convenient pantry location. Primary suite has a dual sink vanity, tiled shower, walk-in closet, custom-built shelving. And then for all of our golfers out there, you're like, West Richland, golf on Paradise, or up on Copper Court. No. Don't worry. We put the golf simulator. This guy built a golf simulator in the garage. It's amazing. Can be a workout room as well. Awesome, awesome climate controlled space. So you can golf year round at this place. And that's coming in at $654,900. So a lot of value up there in West Richland for that. Pick number two, I'm going to take you to 271 South Osborne in Kennewick. This is a five-bedroom, three-bath, almost 3,300 square feet home. Luxury vinyl plank flooring, French doors to the office, which could be a possible fifth bedroom option. Loft style family room. You've got a great kitchen in this house as well. Granite countertops, dining bar, prep island, tile backsplash, totally done up kitchen. Upstairs, you've got the family room, extra space for relaxation and entertainment. And then another massive primary suite. And that price in Kennewick is coming in at $589,000. And then pick number three, on this one, I'm going to lead on price with you here, because a lot of people will feel this isn't possible. But I've got a house at $385,000 in Creekstone in Kennewick. So this is 5727 West 11th. This is a three-bed, two-bath Rambler, 1,392 square feet. You've got an open kitchen, a convenient breakfast bar, connects right to the dining area. Primary suite has tile flooring, dual sink vanity, dual closets. And then outside, you've got a fully fenced backyard, perfect for activities and gatherings. Now, Creekstone, HOA, I know a lot of people are like, not going to do it. Don't like it, but I got to tell you, I was through there just last week, and Creekstone, it is the one thing about the HOA, it is beautiful. Like, the grounds are all maintained, the parks are out, there were kids playing volleyball out there, volleyball net was set up, and dogs running around, and it's all maintained, and it's gorgeous, and still looks really good. So to get into that neighborhood, though, I haven't seen one hit the market under four in a while. So $385,000, great, great property in Creekstone. If you have any questions, go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot us a message. But now I'm going to talk to you about more of those mistakes, because, John, we don't want you making any mistakes in this buying process. So we're on to number six, and this is one that comes up sometimes. I'm a sales guy, right? But I'm also, sometimes I have to talk people out of buying things. And it's number six is the reason why sometimes I do that. And that is not thinking about selling a home one day. Yeah, not thinking about that. But that's a mistake for certain reasons. So I recently, for instance, I listened to a podcast about the top five purchases that retirees regret. And what do you think, John, one of those top five purchases was that retirees regret?
A purchase they regret?
Yeah, and think about the show we're hosting today. Come on.
They bought a condo.
Well, okay, housing. You're right. You're right in there. But retiree regrets, one of the top five purchases is a dream home.
Oh.
Sometimes the reason that's a regret for retirees is because they don't think about what it looks like if they have to sell that.
Okay.
They might buy something that's very, very specific to retirement, but doesn't have a huge resale market. For instance, like, I'm sorry, but what are you going to do with a 5,000 square foot house that has two bedrooms?
Hmm.
I've seen it, okay? And that's very specific and sometimes a little too specific, you know, but I've seen that happen before where someone built that because they're like, I only need two bedrooms because, you know, we're retired and I'm just building the other 4,800 square feet as one big game room, you know, which was awesome, but then they have to resell it.
Ooh.
And that's difficult to resell something like. So not thinking about reselling a home one day or buying something that, you know, might be a big discount, but on a very, very busy street. How soon are you going to have to resell that home? What's that going to look like for you with value-wise? So just thinking about what you're going to have to do when you resell that home. Number seven, I got to tell you, and this is one of the mistakes that I've seen out there, and that I, with what's happened this year with the real estate commission lawsuits and what's going on, I put down the biggest mistake because I feel this way, is trying to purchase a home without a broker. It can be done, don't get me wrong, but in most cases, most of the horror stories that I hear about were stories that happened when someone was looking to purchase without a broker. They just, people think that they might have bought three or four houses and they have the experience to do it and they're going to be fine. But I go back to, you might be fine in a number of those cases, but how big is the mistake? And what are the ramifications if it's not fine? I think back to a client I had years ago that I had probably showed 20 homes to. We had great rapport. We had a great relationship. I call them up because I had found a new listing I thought they should go look at. And they say, you know what? We decided to build, and so we don't need your help anymore. And I was like, well, that's interesting because I told you I could help you with a builder negotiation. What was the reasoning there, if you just don't mind me asking? Well, the builder was just able to give us a better deal if we just didn't have an agent. He doesn't work with agents. And so we're just going to, it's a great home. We're super excited about it. I said, I totally understand where you're at with that. I don't agree with it, but you know, if you ever need anything in the future, reach out and let me know.
Yeah.
So I ran into that person in the grocery store about a year later. And I said, you know, just, gosh, how are you doing? How's the new house? And they looked at me with a funny look and they said, we're in an apartment.
Oh.
And I said, well, what happened with the build? Well, this builder, and it was not a big builder in Tri-Cities. And I don't even think they build anymore. And this builder said, well, the builder showed me some pictures of what they were going to give us and put into the house, and it looked really awesome, but they were just in framing, and so they didn't have all that stuff in there. And they took a $20,000 non-refundable deposit, which was all the money we had for the down payment, and they didn't put those things in the house that they showed us the fancy pictures of, and we didn't have it in the contract that was written with them. And so and the house looked terrible, and they kept our $20,000. And so we lost all of our down payment. I mean, crushing stories, right, in these situations. And so now it was going to take them 4 years to save the $20,000 back up and be back in the market to buy. And so I've got probably 50 of these stories of situations like these. That's just one of them that I've been, you know, personally involved in, to where it's like, man, I never would have let that happen to you in that situation. And they didn't know that that wasn't normal. You know, they were just so excited about what they were potentially getting. Where I know that's normal because I've sat down with, you know, 30 different builders and I've reviewed all their contracts and I know what we should roughly be doing and I know what the industry standard is. And so it's just different when we bring that knowledge to the table with our clients. So please, Get with a broker to be looking out for your best interest in that situation. Number eight that I wrote down, this is an easy one for me. And I see buyers try to do this in many cases. And do not overlook important conditions of major things, major systems in a house. I'm talking to you about HVAC, roof, septic. Like if we just did that, I could give you a sheet with two houses, John. And if there was an issue with HVAC, $15,000, septic, $20,000, roof, $15,000, I could show you two houses on paper that look very, very similar to each other, but one has $50,000 of problems. And if you ignore that, they're not even close. And so please do not overlook important systems of the house that are big ticket items. So that's a big one. Next mistake that I see people make, and this is a hard one, and this is where you got to get with a good agent that has a good reputation and trust, is sometimes I see people pass on a good deal because it's too early in their home search. You know, with technology today and filtering and what we go through, I always tell people that, you know, I looked at 40 houses online. I narrowed it to these 10. Mm-hmm. So even though we haven't, it's as if we've already gone and looked at 30.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's hard for people to go through and realize. And a lot of people have done that already on my website or Zillow or wherever they're looking. Mm-hmm. And so they've looked at a lot before they even get in my car with me. So the chances are you've already looked at 30 homes. We're going to go out and look at the best four that you've narrowed it to. There's a good chance that you're going to find your home in that first initial search. And so passing on that, I see people make that mistake a number of times. Number 10, not seeing the true potential of a home. If I see a green bedroom or a pink bedroom or a red, yellow bedroom, whatever it is, or the person went to Richland and it's Kamaic and Braves bedroom, if those things happen, John, it makes me happy for my clients. Cause I tell them like for some paint, we can get rid of, but a lot of people can't.
Yeah.
And if they can't, then, they miss out because they don't see the potential of what some paint can do. Yard that's in bad shape that we can, you know, for $3,000 of landscaping, we can have $10,000 in value. Mm-hmm. So not seeing the potential is a mistake. I'm going to wrap up here. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to give them quick to you. Holding out for the perfect home. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, if we meet four of your top five criteria, I'm asking you to evaluate where we're at in that situation.
Yes.
It's not likely that you will find the exact perfect home. And then I put focusing too much on online listings. A lot of times people will have built up one singular online listing in their brain. Mm-hmm. And they're like, this is the one. It's got everything. It's perfect. And you know what? And it might just be that that's a Kenmore team listing and my marketing gal's really good. and so when you get there, it's not exactly what you thought it was going to be. And yes, that is a plug. And we call her the ninja. My gal, when people hire us, our job is to make their house look amazing and to get people there. But I'm telling you from a buyer's perspective today, there might be other houses I can offer to show you that meet your criteria. But so just getting too hyper-focused on only what you saw online can be an issue. I see buyers all the time this happens to people. And then the last thing that I wrote down, and this happens a number of times, and we were talking about this on the break, is if you have the budget room and you can go up a little bit, go look. Go look at that next $25,000 bracket. Because sometimes you get a 3-bedroom, 2-bath for $400, and you get a 4-bedroom, 2-bath for $425. You know, and so what does that look like? Can you stay in that house 7 years instead of four? You know, so if you have the budget, give yourself an option to look at that next $25,000 or $50,000 bracket. And even with some negotiations, it might not be as big of a spread or difference than you think it is. So those are the mistakes that we see buyers make, and we help educate away from those mistakes. That's why you hire us. That's what we want to do. If you're out looking or you're back in the market, we would love to help you out with looking at this amazing inventory that's out there right now. Go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot us a message. We're around working, and we'll also be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.